Have you ever just felt disconnected? Almost like the world's kind of fracturing around you.
Oh,
All the
definitely.
division, the noise. It just feels overwhelming sometimes. Hard to feel grounded or, really connected.
That feeling, yeah, I think it resonates with so many people right now. The sense of tribalism, maybe, and just finding genuine connection feels harder.
It really does.
Especially with the constant stream of, well, polarizing stuff online and in the news.
Exactly. And that's actually what we're getting stuck into today in this deep dive, this really vital idea. You are the message, living your truth in a fractured world. We're going to explore the surprising power of personal authenticity and what it really means to embody your awareness in, well, frankly, a chaotic world.
Yeah, and we've based this on a pretty comprehensive report. Our mission really is to pull out the most crucial insights for you,
Right.
clarify some ideas that might seem a bit academic, and give you practical takeaways you can actually use.
And what really jumped out at me diving into this was how that ancient saying, from the Oracle of Delphi, know thyself. It's not just some old philosophical quote anymore. It feels incredibly urgent today. Because, like the report says, your whole being communicates, not just your words.
That's such a key point. You are the message. It goes way beyond just what you say.
Totally.
It's like this whole package of signals, isn't it? Your eyes, your face, how you move, your voice, the pitch, the tone, the volume, even how committed you sound.
Right. It all adds up to the impression people form.
Exactly. And how they judge what you're putting out there.
It's kind of amazing how much our nonverbal stuff shapes everything.
Huge. It's a massive part of how we connect, show emotion, make things clearer, build trust. Project confidence, even.
And when the words and the body language line up when they're congruent, that's where the trust happens. That's impact.
Spot on. But if there's a mismatch, if your body's saying one thing and your mouth another.
The words just poof, they lose their weight.
Precisely. And this idea of congruence, of the message being authentic and having integrity, it actually reminded me of something from information security.
Oh, yeah. What's
It's
that?
a message authentication code, or MAC.
Okay.
It's basically a way to check if a message is really from the sender and hasn't been messed with. And then there's non-repudiation, which is like undeniable proof it's authentic and intact, often uses a private key only the sender has.
Okay, I think I see the parallel. So for us, our personal message, everything we put out there, it lands, it builds trust when it's authentic, coming from our actual true self.
Exactly.
And it has integrity when it's consistent, not swayed by external stuff. So is the private key then our core values?
That's the perfect metaphor. Your deeply held values, the ones you won't compromise on, they're like your private key. They ensure your message is genuinely yours, makes its legitimacy undeniable. It's your unique signature.
Okay, that makes sense. Now let's talk about this landscape we're in, this fractured world. The report really paints a picture of deep societal polarization.
It does. And it's not just politics, is it?
No, seems much broader. Ideological divides, cultural ones, affecting lifestyles, even where people choose to live.
Right, leading to these social bubbles, echo chambers, where you're mostly around people who think just like you.
Which just intensifies things, right? Alienation from other views or even rejection.
And the report highlights something called affective polarization.
Effective. Okay, what's that exactly?
It's not just disagreeing with the other side, it's where your positive feelings for your own group get stronger, and your negative feelings, maybe even hostility towards opposing groups, really ramp up.
So it's emotional. It's not just about ideas, it's about how we feel about them.
Exactly. It fosters hostility, makes people less willing to compromise. It makes genuine dialogue really, really difficult.
Like speaking different languages threatens the whole social fabric.
It does. The impacts are huge. Undermines stability, creates gridlock in decision making, makes tackling big things like climate change way harder.
Even in workplaces, right? Like hybrid teams drifting into their own little silos.
Yes, absolutely. Without that shared understanding or purpose.
And personally, I mean, I know I feel it. This constant stream of division, it takes a toll. Anger, frustration, sadness.
It's draining. And the report suggests our internal state can actually start mirroring that external fragmentation.
Which makes finding that inner grounding, that inner coherence, absolutely essential, not just nice to have.
Right. Which leads us neatly into this journey of living your truth, authenticity.
From an existentialist view, the report links it to aligning your actions with your own values.
All right.
even when life throws curveballs or pressures at you.
Yeah, finding your authentic self within the life you've got. Eric Fromm, the psychologist, talked about authentic behavior coming from really understanding your own motivations.
Not just conforming.
Exactly, not just doing what's expected.
So it's about choices that really resonate inside, not just going along. And psychology backs this up, right? Authenticity isn't just a nice idea, it's key for well-being.
Absolutely fundamental. Feeling authentic, that perceived authenticity, it predicts things like being happier with your decisions, having better relationships.
Makes total sense.
And Carl Rogers, the humanistic psychologist, he talked about an actualizing tendency.
An innate drive.
Yeah, an innate drive in us to grow, to reach our potential. It suggests being authentic isn't just a choice. It's like a basic need for psychological health.
But the big roadblock is social conditioning.
Yeah.
Wanting to belong.
Huge obstacle. That desire to fit in is so primal, it's a survival thing.
Yeah.
But it can lead us to put on a persona, a kind of false mask.
Creating a disconnect from our real self.
Exactly. And wearing that mask totally undermines the you are the message idea.
Because the message isn't truly congruent.
Right. Your internal MA doesn't match the external one, metaphorically speaking. Leads to feeling unfulfilled, inauthentic.
So how do we bridge that gap? How do we get back into alignment? The report talks about it being a process. Self-awareness, acceptance, choice.
An iterative process. Yeah, it starts with that deep inner work, building real self-knowledge, really believing you're already enough.
That's a big one.
It is. And reframing life as an opportunity to grow, not just hurdles to overcome.
And shifting from I have to do this to I choose to.
That's a critical shift. A sign you're mastering those external pressures, moving from being driven by conditioning to making conscious choices. Rogers called this internal alignment congruence.
Congruence, where your self-image and your ideal self line up.
Pretty much. Leads to higher self-worth, inner peace. The opposite, incongruence, is where that psychological tension comes from.
Okay, so this internal alignment, this congruence, that's the foundation for your external message to be truly authentic and impactful.
Precisely.
Which brings us beautifully to embodying awareness. Mm-hmm. Now, these terms, consciousness, awareness, mindfulness, they can get a bit fuzzy.
They can, yeah. People use them interchangeably sometimes.
So how does the report distinguish them? What's embodied awareness specifically?
Okay, so think of consciousness as just being awake, aware of stuff happening around you and inside you. Mindfulness is more like a practice focusing attention, usually on the present, to cultivate more awareness.
Right, like meditation.
Exactly. But awareness itself, in this deeper sense, is presented as more fundamental, maybe even a shared field of presence that's always there, not just limited to our individual viewpoint.
Okay. So embodied awareness is deeper than just thinking about something. It's a state of being.
Yes, exactly. It's about true presence, wholeness. It goes beyond just intellectual understanding.
And this idea of embodied manifestation,
yeah,
moving desired states from thoughts into the body by feeling the reality, that sounds interesting. How does one actually do that?
It's about cultivating the physical sensation of that state. So instead of just thinking, I want to be calm, you might consciously relax your shoulders, breathe deeper, and actually notice the feeling of calm settling in your body. You're embodying the feeling now, not just wishing for it later.
So practices like embodied meditation help with that, focusing on breath, body sensations.
Yes, they can lead to that sense of oneness, inner stillness. Even simple conscious breathing anchors you in the present. And using breath, sound, movement, that can help release stuck energy or old beliefs.
Stuck energy.
Well,
often in the hips and pelvis, the report mentions.
Often, yeah. Areas where we tend to hold tension.
Okay, that makes it more tangible. And externally, how does this embodied awareness show up in our interactions?
It really enhances the nonverbal side. When you're present in your body, your subtle cues, gestures, expressions, eye contact, create this deep sense of presence, of really being with the other person.
Makes your message more authentic, more legible.
Exactly. The report mentions people with aphasia who struggle with speech can often communicate complex things incredibly clearly, nonverbally, precisely because they're so embodied.
Wow, that's powerful. So cultivating presence isn't just for personal calm. It's a tool for navigating tricky conversations, too.
A massive tool for emotional regulation, navigating conflict. It lets you choose thoughtful responses instead of just reacting impulsively.
A counterforce to all the reactivity out there.
Absolutely.
You mentioned earlier that embodying awareness is a radical act. Why radical? It sounds personal, but You're suggesting it impacts society.
Well, it's radical because, let's be honest, our society often pushes us away from wholeness. We're trained to numb ourselves, right?
Disconnect from the body, live in our heads, glued to screens.
Exactly. Reclaiming that embodied awareness, it's like an act of defiance against that culture of disconnection. It's saying, I choose to be whole.
It's a personal revolution that grounds you in reality, countering the fragmentation.
Precisely. You become a living example of something different.
That's a really powerful frame. And it fosters empathy, which feels so critical right now.
It does. The report notes mindfulness activates brain areas linked to empathy and practices like the Just Like Me meditation.
Where you gaze at someone.
Yeah, it's shown to increase closeness, warmth, pro-social feelings between strangers, even sync up smiles and heart rates.
Incredible. Shows a direct link between inner state and outer impact.
Definitely.
Which leads right into mindful conflict resolution, an antidote to hostility. What are some practical strategies there?
Well, simple things, but powerful. Taking space before reacting. Active listening, really trying to understand, not just waiting to talk.
Meeting eye to eye.
Yes. And shifting from blaming you statements to owning I statements.
Threshold shift.
And approaching it with curiosity, not just wanting to win or convince. Setting ground rules for respect. Mm-hmm. Finding shared values even when you disagree.
Modeling a way out of that effective polarization lift.
Exactly.
And this idea of authentic living is leadership.
Oh.
It reminds me of the Stoics, focusing on meaning over just chasing influence, trusting your internal compass.
Spot on. Genuine influence often comes from building something you truly believe in, not just seeking validation. And history gives us amazing examples.
Like Gandhi.
Gandhi, yes. His Satyagraha truth force rooted in self-discipline, inner strength. Nelson Mandela, leading with forgiveness after everything.
Martin Luther King Jr.'s moral courage.
Visionary leadership, yeah. Even Thomas Paine, challenging power by educating people, pushing for rights.
They didn't just talk the talk. They embodied the change. Their whole being was the message.
Their integrity, that internal MAC, was solid. It inspired people.
So for you listening now, how can you actually cultivate this embodied awareness? Live this truth day to day. Let's break down some practical paths.
Okay, first is self-reflection and inner work. Really looking at how your daily choices line up with your true self, your private key.
That inner work, building self-knowledge, believing you're already enough.
And consciously making that shift from I have to, driven by conditioning, to I choose to.
Asking yourself, when do I feel most like me? When do I feel disconnected?
Yes. And embracing your whole story, no shame, no regret, becoming the author of it.
Then mindfulness practices for presence and emotional regulation. Conscious breathing, simplest anchor there is.
And body-based practices, embodied meditation, Feldenkrais, yoga, martial arts, dance. Anything that builds that body sense, that feeling of wholeness.
Stillness practices too, like Zen just sitting.
Yeah.
Witnessing what's going on inside.
Right. And using breath, sound, movement to release stuck energy, negative beliefs, especially from those tension spots like hips and pelvis.
Okay. Then communicating authentically, consciously aligning the verbal with the nonverbal body language, eyes, face, voice.
Knowing your own communication strengths and using them congruently. And practicing reading others' nonverbals too, reading between the lines.
Staying present while you speak, that builds trust.
Absolutely fundamental.
And finally, engaging with difference. Approaching discussions with that genuine curiosity, not just trying to win.
Such a hard but vital shift. Setting ground rules for respect. Using I statements, not you statements.
Actively listening to understand, not just agree. Avoiding assumptions, asking clarifying questions.
Finding common ground, those shared values, even amidst disagreement. And cultivating compassion. Being okay with disagreement without letting it break the connection.
It's a demanding path. But...
it really is. So living your truth through embodied awareness, it's transformative. Leads to internal wholeness, yes, but it also ripples outward, contributes to unity.
Remember, you are the message. Every single part of you communicates. When your words, actions, nonverbals are all in sync, authentic, congruent.
That's when you build trust, real connection. Far more than words alone can.
We really encourage you listening to embark on this journey. Cultivate that internal coherence. Let your true private key guide you.
Because by doing that, you model a different way of being, a different way of relating in this fractured world.
And maybe, just maybe. What if that quiet revolution, one person living their truth, multiplied across communities, what if that's the most powerful force we have to mend the fractures?